You say, praise the Lord. I was fumbling around here this morning. You know, you have everything in order, and then you try to find everything that you had in order. I'm like, what's going on? I knew this was where it was supposed to be last night, but just those little note cards when they fall down in your Bible, and you're like, where did you go? But I knew, you know, the Holy Spirit's there to help us. He said, you was in Kings, 1 Kings. I'm like, that's right. Okay, let's get there. But do something, just change just a little bit different this morning. Getting ready, I want to take up the offering here, here at Word of Faith Worship Center. We used to do it at the end of the service, but I just kind of feel like I want to just leave the end of the service just ministry time. I don't want you thinking about what you need to write out. You've already, as a church, we know we do that. We prepare that before we get here. But in saying that, before we get there, I just want to, again, welcome my visitor this morning, Janice, to Word of Faith Worship Center. We're glad you decided to bless us this morning to come in here and be a part of what the Lord is going to do today. But here, you know, we have a bulletin. Sharon, did I say Janice? I'm sorry, Sharon. Janice is on the way. She's coming. She is coming. Twice I've said Janice this morning. But Sharon, and we have Wednesday night Bible study here. Reed and Tammy Robinson have been teaching the Word of God, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is on the inside of each and every one of us. Amen? And it's in our spirit. It's in a form that we can't see. And sometimes it comes out of our mouth that it ain't the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the flesh. But she's been teaching us about the fruit of the Spirit, and we welcome you to come, join, be a part and of what God is doing. Birthdays in October here. Just to mention Larry Mullis and Rowan Jackson, Cindy Adams, Vicki Clark, Haley Gray, Alicia, all celebrating some birthdays this month. And then Reed and Tammy, am I right? Anniversary, 17th of this month. How many years we got? 27. Reed, you knew that, didn't you? She just got it a little bit quicker than you did. See, a lot of times we step back and we'll make sure she got it right. A lot of times I can remember the year, but I let her do the math. 1985. Okay, you do the math. Click, 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 click. It takes two working together to get to an end of a thing, right? Amen. But just want to share that with you this morning. But as we get ready to prepare to take up the offering, you know what? You're blessed. I was blessed before I knew about giving, after I got born again. Before then, I wasn't blessed. The blessing was there. Everything had been provided. Jesus had already died. But I wasn't in communication. I wasn't connected to the blessing. But thank God I am now. Amen. Because it's there. It's just like we were talking about benefits in a health care plan. If you don't use them, somebody's going to use them, right? The blessing of God is here. Not everybody's using it. And there's an unlimited supply. Because when God spoke things, He spoke it into covenant. When He spoke this earth into covenant, everything that we needed here on this earth to survive, don't be telling them there's not enough trees to build a house on this earth. That, you know, be careful about how many trees we cut down. You know, God provided enough trees for us to have houses. No matter whatever we use, He knows that there's enough. Now, we've got to be faithful stewards of what He's given us, but don't let anybody tell you you don't have what you need here to survive, to succeed, and thrive in this world. And I'm talking about your finances now, too. I'm talking about my finances, too. And let's just, if you're in your Bible here, and if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. But let's go over to the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to talk about a prophet named Elijah. Everybody may be familiar with the prophet Elijah, probably heard this story. Well, you know what? As we took communion, we have taken it before, but we continue to take it to remember. And these stories, don't ever think that, yeah, I heard this in when I was a kid in children's church. I heard that story. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing, amen, not by having heard. So we need to keep ourselves built up, and you don't want to do it by keep going and studying what God put in His Word. Elijah, and I hadn't told you where to go yet. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 1 and 17, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 16, talking about your finances, our finances. Now, Elijah was a prophet. In the Old Testament, they were prophets. They were called seers. He could see things in the spirit that just an ordinary person back in the Old Testament didn't have that ability to do. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, this was a king, Ahab here, that was not a godly king. He said to him, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, see, Elijah had a prophet, had a covenant with God. He knew where he stood. Before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now here's a prophet talking to a king that can take a sword and cut his head off because the king has authority. But there's one with greater authority standing before that king. That's Elisha, whose God is Jehovah, the self-existing one that created him and King Ahab. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, and this is what Elijah says, this is what God said to Elijah after he said to the king. You know, once you say something to the king that's a bold word, a lot of times God don't want you to stick around. He's got a hiding place for you because he knows that what he's saying, if he don't receive it, he's going to become your enemy. Well, he was already his enemy. So, but then the word of the Lord said to Elijah, get away from here, turn eastward. This is something about going east. The sun rises in the east. Jesus is coming back in the eastern skies, right? Go toward the east and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have, this is God saying, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God speaks to birds? Yes, he does. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread, just like God told them to. Amen. And meat in the morning. Well, he didn't let Elisha know about the meat. He just kind of blessed him, a little bit of a surprise blessing. Not only am I going to give you something in the evening, I got something for you in the morning too. Bread, water, think about a Bojangles biscuit first thing in the morning with a good old glass of sweet tea. That was what was flowing. Now I'm paraphrasing here. That was flowing by the brook Cherith. To Elijah, that's what it was. It was bow time. The ravens brought him bread, meat in the morning, and bread, meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while, didn't say how long, but after a while, the brook dried up. Somebody tell me why the brook dried up. There's no rain. Somebody said there ain't going to be no rain. Who was that? Elijah. The one that's drinking all that sweet tea, it's empty. He's like, uh-oh. Did I really mean to say that? Did God tell me to say that? Because now I don't have no brook. And you know what? It don't matter how much food you got. If you ain't got nothing to chase it down, you might as well not even eat it. Because you're going to get thirsty, right? So the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Because Elijah said, there won't be till I say so. Well, I wonder if he's thinking about, well, I think it's time that I say rain, start raining. But no. It's time to check with God. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, it didn't come while the brook was flowing, it came while the brook dried up. A lot of times we want God's answer while everything's going smooth in our life, in your finances. Well, guess what? Sometimes if you don't have money in the bank, listen to God. He's speaking. I'm saying he was speaking before then, but if you're trusting in him, that's not a time to get into fear, it's time to stay in faith. And he said, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. Dwell there. See, I have, past tense, commanded a widow woman to sustain thee, to provide for you. God saw the brook drying up. See, he knows he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. You got a beginning in your finances, and you got an end when he comes again, and we ain't going to need it. Until then, we need to fill in the space in between. And he's already did that. He's already provided every brook that we need. I've already provided a widow woman for you there. So he arose. He didn't stay around, and he wasn't a faith man that kept saying, "Brook, I command you to be filled up with water." No, because God had said. There's no need to say something that God ain't said. If God's changed it, we need to change. Get on over to the next brook. So he got up, he arose, and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. He's thirsty. He ate that Bojangles biscuit, but he didn't have no water. There wasn't no brook. And she was going to get it, and he called to her and said, He saw her and he was thirsty. Verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God. See, she didn't have faith in God. Her faith had ran out because there was a famine in the land. Who called for the famine? Elijah. Where did God send him? To a widow woman. Not all the widow women. There was a famine in the land. But he sent him to one who had lost her trust in God. Because she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. He said, make you think about a little boy that had a lunch one day and Jesus was needing to feed some people. He just had a little. What's in your checking account? Is it just a little? Sometimes I have just a little in there sometimes. Might be the best time to give everything you got to God, to His work, and trust Him. Now, you've got to hear from God if He tells you to give everything. Amen? You need a word from God. You need to make sure you've heard from God. He says, I'm gathering a couple of sticks. This is the widow says, that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and what? And die. See, she had no hope. The Bible says a man don't have no hope. He's perishing. Without a vision, the people perish. Without hope, you don't have no vision. You might have had a vision, but it's disappeared. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. How many times is that in the Bible? A lot. That means there's going to be a lot of circumstances in our life, and we've been told, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, and here's a good but in the Bible. But, make me a cake from it first. When you get paid, at the first of the week, the end of the week, beginning of the week, middle of the week, first, set apart what you're going to give to God. Don't look at the pastor and think, what am I going to give to Pastor Robert, Pastor Jim, Pastor Gary, whoever is your pastor, you got to know that you're giving it to God. Amen? Because God is your source. I can't be there to provide for you early in the morning or late in the evening or maybe even around supper time, but God can. Because He's in your beginning and He's in your end. Amen. But do what God says. First, set aside what you're going to give to God. That's what He's saying. Make me a little cake first, verse 13, and bring it to me. Bring it to the altar. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the church. And afterward, make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, and God is saying to you this morning, right now, whatever you give this morning, whether you got a little or whether you got a lot, whatever you have, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth. And God has sent the former, and He sent the latter rain already, and I'm talking about in the Spirit now. He has sent Jesus. He has sent the Holy Ghost. We should never have a famine in our land. Amen?
Amen.
Because we serve Jehovah, and we have a covenant with Him. So she went away and did. That's very important. Do what God tells you to do. And that's in the Word. Give what the Word requires, not because God needs your money. He needs your faith. He needs your obedience so He can bless you. So He can bless you in the field, bless you in the storehouses, everywhere you go, so He can bless you. She went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he, not only Elijah got blessed too, and her household ate for many days. That was his next place that God had sent him. But it wasn't just for him. When you give, it ain't just for you. It ain't just for me. It's for others to get blessed. Amen? And that's how God keeps things flowing in a world that's been corrupted by sin. And the God of this world is the devil. And He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. That's a good time to stand up. Let's stand up. We're going to give this morning. And you've heard the word of faith. You've heard about a prophet, Elijah. Guess what? We are now kings and priests before our God. That means you have a voice you need to speak. Speak what you want to see happen in your life. and then give, expecting to receive that. What are we receiving? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give? This is what this widow woman did. She gave after the blessing was spoke unto that man that she... That was her pastor. That was who brought her the word, brought her hope, brought her a vision. And where there's a vision, you always have strength to give into that. God don't want you to give into every vision out here. He said give into every good work. And this is a good work here. It's spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's agree together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is alive and it's quick. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for each gift that is being offered today, Father God, that is being offered with the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving unto you. And Jesus, we thank you that you have already provided every blessing that we need in this earth. And Father, you have risen us and put us on top of things where we can see and know where to be a blessing and where to put our gifts and where to expect our gifts to come from, Father. They come from you. So we just thank you right now, Father God, for the spiritual insight and for wisdom that comes to us, Father. And we just are expecting great things, Lord, that when something dries up in our life, we're going to rejoice. And Paul said, and again I say rejoice, knowing this is just something that I can rejoice in this, knowing that God's getting ready to bless me. When the devil comes messing, God's getting ready to do some blessing. Amen? So we just thank you for that. Right now, by faith, we receive God's blessing in our life in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Bring your tithes and offerings, and with a joyful heart, thank the Lord, and then we might think about getting into the message this morning. If I can find my notes. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Thank you, Dallas. You could have let that play just a little bit. I'm still digging in notes up here. That's okay. Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 pages. How much time we got? This is going to be a series. This is going to be a series already. I got a son who loves Panther football. But you know what? As Christians, we need to start filling up some stadiums right here. God don't have nothing about people going out enjoying watching football, but you know what? We need to fill these pews up too. We got a Savior that has called plays from heaven before the foundations of the world. It says He was slain before the foundations of the world, so that we could be born again. And that's His heart's desire, and that's my heart's desire, is fill His church, because it's His church. Amen. And He wants it full, because you know He told us. You know, when we get to heaven, there's a broad gate and there's a narrow gate. He said, many are going by the broad gate, and few are hitting that narrow gate. But that's not God's will, because His Word said, He above all things, that none would perish, but all should come into repentance. So it's okay to fill up. It's okay to fill up the football stadiums, as long as we're keeping God first in our life. Amen. He don't have a problem with that, because you know what? You can be a witness wherever we are. We're lights. The salt's got to get out of the salt shaker before it's going to do any seasoning, right? We are the salt. The church says we are the salt of the earth. And if we get sprinkled out of that salt shaker, we're going to season somebody's life. But if we just sit there on that table and just complain about how bad things are, and how bad, now I'm not saying we say how bad God is, but a lot of people do. They think things are bad because God's not doing anything. Well, let me tell you, God's done it all. He has provided all that we will ever need, and He's given us authority to stand up. Elijah had to stand before a king. Stephen stood before the religious crowd, before Saul, that became Paul, and gave a witness full of the Holy Ghost. That's the key, being full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you get full of the flesh and you stand before your boss, you're going to say things that's going to cost you something. You're going to be by the brook cherub that's dried up, instead of by the widow woman's house where you're getting fed, and she's going to build you a room next door and going to put you a bed in there. That's being where God wants you to be. If we get in the flesh and not ministering, and we don't minister by the fruits of the Spirit, which is why Tammy's been teaching us over here on Wednesday night to learn some things. If we get in our flesh, that's not God. God doesn't speak out of a tongue of flesh. He speaks to our spirit. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. And those that worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth. Get them two working together. It's called fail-safe system. You ain't going to fail. Amen? Doesn't mean things in your life might not work out quite right at the time, but that doesn't make you a failure. And I've seen things on billboards, and I don't really agree with this, but, you know, there's some truth in it, but I don't base my truth and my faith in God on it, that, you know, from failures, having failures, you can succeed. By having failures, you learn from that, and you can be a success. Well, yeah, that's true, but who wants their kids to go out here and have a car wreck and learn that if I'd have done the speed limit, I'd still be healthy? You know, I don't want them to fail. I want them to know, put your seatbelt on, obey the speed limit, know that you have angels encamped about you to watch over and protect you, as long as you don't dash your foot against a stone. In other words, don't rebel against what God's word, His covenant. We're going to be talking about the blood covenant. Don't kick against the prick like Paul was doing. Kicking against Jesus, the very source that where your bread and life comes from. You know, what's the old cliche that says, don't bite the dog, or the dog, don't bite the man that feeds you? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. That comes from something that we've learned. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, and a lot of ungodly people think everything, every good and every bad thing comes from God, but it doesn't. Because the Bible says, in Him is light, and there is no darkness. James reminds us that if you're tempted, don't say you're tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with what? Evil. There is no evil in Him, and neither He tempt any man. But when that temptation comes, our God, just like Elijah, when the brook dried up, when that temptation comes, there's a way of escape. What is that escape? The Word of God. The Word of God came to him, and he listened and went to the next place of refuge. When calamity's hitting your life, and it's like, well, God, where are you at? What did I do? Just if you know you've done something, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins, repent, and get on with the ship, get on with the job God called you to do. Just repent, get up, and go again, and get back to that brook. Get back to the river that's flowing with living waters. Amen? So if you mess up, that doesn't mean God's out to get you. No, the devil's out there, and he's looking for you to stumble. He's looking for you to fall, because when you fall, he's going to pounce on you, and that's when he's going to hit you with everything he's got. He's going to tell you how bad you missed it, where you missed it, why you missed it. But then you got to shake. We did some shaking this morning. You got to shake those things off. And you got to get up and you got to stand to know that God said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where your strength comes from. Amen? That's where my strength comes from. It doesn't come in my flesh, even with my wife or with my kids. It comes with my trust in God. Amen? I ain't even got to the notes yet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the blood. The blood is speaking. I want to start, it's going to be a series, talking about the blood covenant. Before Christ, I mean, in the world, in school, in high school, I never heard anything. I knew more about the devil and witchcraft and all this cults. When I hear a cult, yeah, I knew. I mean, I wasn't in one. Y'all don't leave yet. Shut the door. Y'all hear me out now, but, you know, I was just in the world. I was born into sin. And guess what? You're born into something, you're pretty good at it, even as a baby. Wah, wah, wah. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Selfish, self-centered. That's what we're born into. We have a nature that's born into that. But thank God we don't have to stay that way. Why? Because when the blood was shed, it has a voice. I'm not going to grade you on this. Somebody tell me the first blood shed they can remember. All right, that's one. Not the first. Well, now let me take that back, because I don't want to make Tammy like, man, I missed that. Because a lot of times, I know I have that answer I speak out, because I led her astray there. Maybe when there was the first time of blood being shed in the Bible, but it was for a good purpose. I'm going to help her a little bit there. Amen. Say that, Reed. For who shed the blood? God shed the blood. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They ran and hid. Pretty good idea. You know you messed up. A lot of times my kids, when they mess up, I can't find them. There's a lot of rooms they're hiding. They get their license, they take off and go somewhere else. But I know they're not far because they don't have much gas in the tank. You know, you learn these things as a dad. You can't go far. I know how much gas costs nowadays. They'll be home. Where was they at? They ran and hide. Sin will always cause you to run from God. When God, in all His majesty and mercy and grace, was wanting them to come to Him. If you mess up, just go to that person. The Bible tells us when you have a fault for your brother, just go to your brother. Because God knows that the devil is in the camp. And He knows that He's going to put little deception. And what He's going to do, He's wanting to harden your heart to where you can't hear from God. So the first thing you've got to do is run to God. The first blood that was shed, God took animals and He sacrificed them and took the hides and clothed Adam and Eve. They had fig leaves. Not too smart. Didn't cover much. They had a whole body to cover. They had fig leaves. Anybody had fig leaves? Know what they look like? I'm not going to Google it, but I know they're not that big, probably. But God never quit loving His creation. He knew that blood had to be shed because, ask me why, I can't tell you all the whys. He just knows, the Bible tells me when a sin is committed, blood has to be shed. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, sin. Blood had to flow. Somebody's life had to be given to cover that sin. That's how detrimental it was. So what He did, He took animals. Well, why didn't He take Adam? Why didn't He just go ahead and cause? That ain't God's good. He doesn't take from you. He takes from something. An animal. Now, I love animals. I got a cat at home. Y'all bear with me when I say this now. An animal doesn't have a spirit. Now, I'm not going to go to Genesis and read this. You can go back and read it, study it. And that way, if you want to come against me next week and say, hey, talk about my animals now. An animal was a created being that God created. He created them before Adam. You and me, mankind. You don't hear anywhere that God breathed into that animal and they became a living spirit, a speaking spirit like He did Adam. God gave them life, but it's not life eternal. But when He took Adam and formed him, it says He breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, the very breath of God. Now, are you saying there's not animals in heaven? No, I'm not saying that. Because God is God. He hasn't told us everything that He's done. But one day we're going to know everything because we know His Son. Amen? But until then, I'm just saying, God, He's like, well, God would take an animal. Somebody might say, why would He come against an animal and take an animal's innocent life? Because we were more precious to Him than silver and gold and animals. Now, He didn't want to if Adam had never sinned. Bear with me here. That animal would probably be on our table. Hamburger, steaks. Come on now. Back then we did eat just herbs and spices. So had all this not happened, no, we wouldn't have been eating deer and venison and hamburger and steak. But it goes to show us that when God in the New Testament said, everything you receive by thanksgiving and thanks unto Him, let it be sanctified by the Word of God. Receive it with thanksgiving. That means there's no spirit in that animal that it's going to really... You understand where I'm coming from? That we're doing this evil, abominable sin because we're eating this meat. There is no spirit in an animal. God sacrificed the animal because the blood had to flow. Covenant, the word for covenant, that word, the Hebrew word for covenant is berith, which means to cut, but not just there, to cut till the blood flows. And that's what God had to do. When sin came into camp, God had to take an animal, and He doesn't say what animal it was. Boy, that'd really be bad if I started telling that animal which one He prefers over another one now. I'm just throwing some thoughts out there for you. But the blood had to flow. And then when the blood flowed, He took those skins and He wrapped Adam and Eve and covered them. Not because what He saw, their nakedness was sin. It was what they were seeing they thought was sin. And God covered it not for Him, but for them. Amen? When God looks at you in the shower, He doesn't have a problem with you being in the shower with no animal skin on. y'all gonna all gonna run to the store and wanna buy animal skins, ain't you? All right, we're moving on. The Hebrew word covenant means to cut till the blood flows. I want you to know what a covenant is before this series ends. You're going to know what a blood covenant is and what Jesus Christ has done for you. Cut till the blood flows, till the very life, Jesus said that life is in the blood, till the very life of that person flows and is flowing for somebody else. A blood covenant, the blood covenant is a form of mutual covenanting by which two persons, and remember in the beginning, when God created mankind, He said, in the beginning, let us make man, and let us make man. That word us in the Hebrew is Elohim. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In spirit form, said, let us create man in our image. So therefore, you see, a blood covenant is a mutual bond between where two persons has to come into covenant here, the blood had to flow. See, when God created mankind, He didn't do it in just His own. He is God, Jehovah, self-existing, but they're in three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're a triune being. Three persons in one. To tell me how to explain that to you, I'd have to speak in tongues to do it. But I'm telling you, that's the way God set it up. But we can look at the natural things in this earth and understand the spiritual, because I can tell you that you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Three parts. God created you in His image. There's an image of the Spirit in you that looks just like God. You saying Terry looks like God? Now, brother, I had to build you up. God looks just like Terry. Dallas looks just like God. You look just like God. Are you going to go against what He said? Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. Well, does God have a flesh body? Does He need the bulls, the blood of bulls and goats to satisfy Him? No, He's a spirit. So when He created mankind, Adam, a part of Him is a spirit. And that we're born from, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but as we're born, we have a spirit in us. Because God don't come back and breathe in each one of us a spirit every time we're born. No, that spirit comes from God. And I had an aunt, and I thank you for your prayers, an aunt that was getting close to meet her maker because of a disease in her body called cancer. But I had the opportunity to go see her Friday night, and I haven't heard any otherwise. But, you know, I didn't see that body there. It was a body I don't recognize because it's diseased, and it's not from God. But I did see a body. I saw a glorified body. I saw her as I remembered her. I see Jesus as I remembered Him. Not beaten and bruised and bloody. I see Him before that. Love. Now, I remember Him. See, I can't physically. We were not there. We didn't physically see what He looked like. But we have stories and we've seen movies. But see, we don't see Jesus like that anymore. They didn't recognize Jesus when He came out of the ground. Because they remembered how broken and bruised and bloody He was. So He was glorified. I seen my aunt the way I remembered her. And I seen her with Jesus. And I was there able just to minister her just like I seen her when I was young. Because I'm not looking at that body anymore. And I'm hating that evil. I hate that cancer. We're supposed to hate things that are evil, the devil. Stuff he brings into our world, into our lives. And it's not God allowing him. In the old covenant, there was some committing going on that God had to commit, but it's not because that's what he wanted. And I'm not going to get into Satan and how he would create him and all this stuff yet, but we're going to go that route. We'll have to go that route one day because we need to know that. Amen. There's people that don't have a true understanding of God's character. But the blood covenant, the blood had to flow. And it's a covenant between two people, both of them cutting and letting that blood flow. The origin of the blood covenant, how it originated, let's go in Genesis. Go to the beginnings here. Genesis chapter 3. I'm just going to maybe get into an introduction today. You know, learning about this is going to help you in every area of our lives. Amen. You know, you might have think when I took up the offering this morning, man, that's a pretty good message right there as far as Lent. But we need to be able to operate in the blessings of God, we need to know how to do that. There's laws that we need to know that we can't see. You know, there's spiritual laws in operation, and I don't know if I'm going to get it away yet. Let me read this first. How the blood covenant came to be, Genesis 3, verse 21. I'm in Exodus. I better get out of there. That's the exit. Better get in the doorway here. Genesis 3, verse 21. Let's see. I might take you back. Yeah, let's go to verse 20. It says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And the Lord God said," verse 22, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, God sent them out of the Garden of Eden." But what I want you to know, the origin of the blood covenant started right there in Genesis 3:21, because the blood flowed. And know that it didn't flow from Adam, it flowed from animals that God cut. Now, I don't know how he did all that, but he did it. And he took the skin. And that's when the first dressing was made for God's, that's when God clothed his mankind. Not with his glory, but with the earth's glory. They were already clothed with the glory of God before they sinned, and they were naked. But now he had to clothe them in animal skins because of sin. Sin had to be recompensed. There's power in blood covenant. There's power there that I haven't been taught as a youngster, didn't know the power of this covenant. Let's look in Hebrews, go back to the New Testament, Hebrews 9. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 9, verse 22. I'm going to have to steer y'all's thinking today. Your old thinking is going to go and want to go to the end. We still got to give an offering at the end of this service. See, I just thought about it. That thought just hit me. You still got to take up an offering. See, sometimes change takes a little bit. It takes effort sometimes on our part to change. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without," let me make sure I read the right one, yeah. "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with" what? "With blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Now, what you've got to understand, that word remission there in the Greek means to send away. The word signifies a release from bondage or imprisonment, a dismissal, sending away, forgiveness, with the added quality of canceling out all judgment, punishment, obligation, or debt. I think I need to read that again. The word remission. Now, this is not what Adam and Eve got in the beginning, but this is in the New Testament, which is actually better. This word remission, signifies a release from bondage, imprisonment, dismissal, a sending away, forgiveness, with added quality of canceling all judgment, all debt, all obligations. I'm talking about a blood covenant here. That's what Jesus provided for us. But in the beginning, those animals cannot provide that for you and for me. That blood covenant that was shed, that was cut in the beginning, was taken from the animals. That blood could only cover your sins. Amen? A covering is different from a sending away, a complete removal or dismissal. It's different. It's a covering. A covering is there until we get into the law. The priest had to go in at a certain year, the year of atonement, and had to atone for the sins of the people in the old covenant. That was the year of atonement. He made atonement for the sins for an entire year. And when he did that, he offered blood of an animal on the sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, and their sin was covered, not remitted, it was covered for a year. Just covered. It had to be done every year, over and over. They had to remember every year, I'm going in here and get my sins covered. See, their mind was always thinking, I've got to go next year and get my... They were expecting to sin. And rightfully so, because they were going to. Because guess what? We had no remission because Jesus had not came yet. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but blood covenant. Without it, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. There's no remission. Although there is no mention of a covenant or remission of sin in the garden, there's no mention of that. God established a pattern by that shedding of blood. See, God always gave us in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Jesus concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. See, Jesus is in this book from the beginning until the end. We can't see Him in the beginning in the spirit form, but we see types and shadows. We see things that the people did. They were doing this, and it said it represented Christ as He was coming. Guess what? Once He came, those shadows, not that they're not important, but they're no longer needed. But we recognize them just like we recognize this, but it's in remembrance of who? Of Him. In God, there is no shadow of turning. He is light. Jesus is the light of the world. And once we come to Him, we're in the shadow until we come to Him. We're in darkness. He's chasing after us. You know, darkness always repels light. It's always repelled from it until you come and embrace the light. When I came, Jesus is always that. He was always running after me. But I didn't want my darkness to be revealed. Because if that darkness comes to the light, it will be revealed. Not so that He can say how bad you are. He wants His goodness on you. He wants the darkness to flee. See, that son's embrace, the prodigal son, that's what he wants. His dad knew how bad he was going to go out there and mess his life up. But he expected him to come back. Because it wasn't the money. His dad was seeing that embrace. He wanted him to come back to him. To go out there and take all that money, go do everything you can to see if you can find this relationship that I started with you, that I established with you, with God. He said, that's what I'm saying. That's what he was probably thinking. Okay, I'm going to let him. I'm going to give everything. Go out there and just do what you need to do. Because I've told you, I've raised you, taught you. But I know he'll come back to me. Once he's gone and done all that, he's not going to find true happiness in all the stuff. It's going to be in that personal relationship. And his dad was there with open arms saying, yes. He came back. He trusted God that he would come back. His son would come back, and he did. Does God want you to go out there and mess all that up? Nope. That's why He gave us the law. Amen? So that we could see what sin would do. But blood had to be shed. Where there's no remission, no bloodshed, there's no remission. The first mention, here we go. Now, y'all watch the words now. The first mention of a covenant in the Bible. Somebody tell me the first mention of a covenant. I won't hold you to this. Somebody give me some mentions of a covenant in the Bible. What we got? Abraham, first mentions of a covenant. All right, that's a good one. Covenant, think about covenant. God showed something, revealed something. See, God said to Abraham, He made a covenant with him. He cut those animals. The first mention, y'all going to be going, I knew that. It's in Genesis chapter 6. I ain't going to tell you till you get there. Genesis chapter 6. You're going to get there and say, I knew that was it. I knew it was it. Chapter 6, verse 18. Who? Noah. Blood covenant was first introduced in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:21, but the first mention of covenant in the Bible is in Genesis 6:18 when God speaks to Noah and says He will establish His covenant with him. And let's go back. Let's look at Genesis 6, verses 9 here. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Does that mean Noah had never sinned? No. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Noah was no exception. But he was a just man. How could he be a just man? It wasn't in his actions. It was in his heart. Even though all this stuff, all these calamities, all this sin and wickedness was around him, there was something in his heart that was after God. And God calls that just. He was a just man. There's another man I'll just throw out there, Job. Job was a just man. Perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. What did God do with Adam in the cool of the evening? Walked with him. He ain't changed. God ain't changed his position, has he? He still likes to walk and fellowship with his creation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Anybody remember those from Sunday school? I always thought about food when I was talking about Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ruthie is thinking the same way I am. She was always thinking about Shatley Springs when I'm talking about covenant. So I hadn't cut a covenant with going to Shatley Springs every year. We try to keep a tradition. But, you know, if we miss it, it's not going to... We'll find a substitute, won't we? Somewhere around here we'll find a substitute. Shatley Springs is a nice country place up in the mountains. We like to try to go every year and just enjoy God's... A lot of people, when they go to the mountains, they say, that's God's country. There's bears and antelope and wild things. I'm like, yeah, that's who I serve. I'm going. See, a lot of people in fear to go to the mountains. We go camping in those woods. Got off that subject, didn't I? Noah had three sons. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Can you turn on your TV and see anything like that today? You ain't got to turn the channel to me. Just use it probably much every channel, whether it be comedy, war, or just... There's some good channels out there. There's few. There's the few, the proud, the Marines. Few, the proud, the Christian stations are out there too. And we've got to focus on them. And God said, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah. I hear Moses right there too. Moses, another man that stood before God, said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Favor. He found favor. I went all the way back up to verse 8. I needed to, didn't I? I went to 6, 8. I'm bringing you down now, back to verse 11 and 12. So God looked upon the earth and said it was indeed corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way. Did it say God had corrupted them? God had withheld anything from them? No, it said all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, here he's saying something again, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Some people don't believe in a worldwide flood. Do you? I believe because God said there was. I wasn't there. Thank God I wasn't there. Because not the whole world got flooded except for 8. And that's a very low percentage. Thank God I'm in the new covenant. God said he's going to destroy it. He did. And he says he's going to destroy this earth again, but not with water, but with fire. And I believe it. And I ain't going to be there either. I'm going to be in the ark. Not the ark of water. The ark is on the inside of you. God is on the inside of you. The ark is what saved the people. That's where God took his people, and God shut the door. Jesus is the door now, right? And we abide in him and he abides in us, that when destruction comes, we're going out. We're not going to be in that destruction. Neither was Noah, neither will his children at the end of this time, at the end of the age. Make yourself an ark of gopher. God gave him the directions of how to build an ark. I'm not going to read everything there. And he made a covenant with him. In verse 18, But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, you, here's your future, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. There's a promise you have in the covenant. You serve God, not only are you going to benefit, Dallas is going to benefit, your sons, his children will benefit. But where do they got to stay? They got to stay in the ark. There was a certain time they stayed in the ark until the destruction was removed. Amen? I'm going to stop right there because we're getting close. So you got to come back next week and the week after and the week after. We ain't even got into the meat of this yet, but we're getting there. But what I want you to know this day and today and leaving this place is that you have a covenant with God. A blood-bought covenant with God. And we're going to learn about that covenant because there's other people out there that need to know about that covenant. Amen? Amen. And I just want to, if Dallas ain't too, and I know he's not, if he would just come up to the front, I know y'all probably seen something on him, but it doesn't settle with us. And I just want to give a little bit of, I'm going to let him share what he needs on his heart, but I had a circumstance that I had to stand. And, you know, question, I'm a minister of the gospel, okay? But guess what? I have a flesh just like you do. We don't put us up on a pedestal and think that, oh, this great man of faith, why is things happening? Why is his son wearing a cast? You know what? There's a lot of reasons why, but I'm not going to concentrate on the reasons why because God gave me the reasons why. We need to do what we need to do. We got a devil out there. We got our flesh. We got words that we say, all that stuff. But guess what? God is Dallas's judge. He knows if he's missed it, what he needs to do between him and God. That's between him and God. But what God has given us is a covenant that to know when I miss it, God hasn't changed. God hadn't messed it up. And when you have a blood covenant, one little thing I'll just share with you. Whatever Mark has, if I come in blood covenant with Mark, whatever he has is mine. And whatever I have is yours. And when we cut and the blood flows and then we mix together, it's inseparable. And what I want you to know today, God shed the blood. Everything that God has is yours. And everything that I have is God's. That's what a blood covenant is. The person with the higher ranking in that covenant has to pay the greater price. Amen? Is anybody in here higher than Jesus Christ and His blood? Then you ain't got to pay the price. Because if we do, we fall short. Only one man could hang on that cross, and it was the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to, I want Dallas to share with, a little bit with you of what happened and what's on his cast. There's something written on there. It's called a vision. Come on, and you have to have a mic because you're recording now. I might put you on Fox News. No, just taking it. Just taking it.
All right, well, at practice Monday, we were doing one-on-ones with the DBs, and I was running out for a route, and I was extending my hand, and when I did, one of the DBs tried to stop themselves, and when they did, they hit my thumb right on, and instantly it was, like, painful and stuff. So we went to the doctor and got an x-ray on it, and they said it was broken in the joint area. And I asked the doctor how long it could be back so I could play football, and he said 6 weeks. And me and my mom instantly looked at each other and we were like, I'm not gonna be away from football that long. So instantly when we got home we prayed and we came up with the verse that we were gonna put our faith in about it's Psalms 34:20. It says, "For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, not one of them is broken." And we believe that God already paid for my sins and paid for my broken bone, and he was broken for me, so right. I don't have to receive this. And next week when I go to the hospital, they're going to say my bone is healed and it's stronger than it was before it was broken. So that's what we're putting our faith in.
What? Yeah. Psalms 34:20. Read it slow and let them hear what you're standing on.
Since he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall stay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned.
The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Now that's covenant. Now see, we have weaknesses, and God sees those weaknesses. But weakness is not meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is being humble. And I know Dallas is heart, so I want y'all as a church, and God as our witness and our covenant partner, that we go to the doctors. We take them to the doctors. We don't like to go there, but the doctor was able to put something that can stabilize that break. But God is greater. And we found a promise in His Word that said He guards all of our bones. So God was guarding, but maybe we wasn't doing something right, or maybe the devil got in. See, all that, we just need to repent. Lord, where I missed it, come to Him, and then we can apply that promise. Lord, I missed it here, but You said You guard His bones. Jesus, on the cross, it said not one of His bones was broken. So we don't have to receive broke bones. And then the Bible, and I knew this as a natural parent, that bones, when they get broke, they go back stronger. And I received that. God, can we heal this body? No. Can the doctors heal the body? No, but God made the body, and He can heal. He has healed the body. So what we do is we come in line and come in covenant and say, God, Father, we can call Him Daddy God, Abba Father. You told us in Psalms 34 that none of our bones, You guard these bones. So Father, we just thank You that this bone is guarded now by this cast, and by Your Word it's guarded from now on, and it's healed supernaturally, that we can go back and the doctor can cut the cast off early because there's no need for it. And maybe put something on smaller that's flexible, that even preventative maintenance. But Lord, we put our trust in You.
Yeah.
And then He says, and none of those who trust in us, there's no condemnation in it. We're not here to condemn each other. We're here to lift each other up and encourage each other. So I'd like for y'all just to agree, and we're going to just agree with what Dallas has said this morning.
Amen.
That God, you know, God receives the glory out of this. This is not His glory, but in this, in His testimony, He can receive glory.
Yeah.
And Dallas can go back and enjoy this game of football, his senior year that he enjoys so much, enjoys. Because God loves football. Because He loves us.
Right.
And He loves us more. So Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your covenant. We thank You, Father God, for Dallas, that he is a blood-bought partner in that covenant because Jesus has paid the price.
Yeah.
So I thank You, Father God, for his heart. And I thank You, Father God, we've already agreed for his body. And now as a corporate church, Father God, we just have corporate anointing right now, Father. This is guarding these bones in his body. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the ended result, Lord, that Dallas is back on the field, giving You the glory on that field and showing how great is his God. And we just thank You for that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Dallas. So at this point, we're not closing the service, we're just unhooking, Tammy. We just unhook here. We never finish anything. There's one person that finished it. Jesus said it's finished. Ruthie, you remember we was at Chapel Hill yesterday, and up there they put a lot of things on the walls, and you know, students are in drama courses and all this, but it had a big picture like frame on the wall, and it says, "I never finish," and the word "finish" was not even finished. I never finish anything. They didn't even finish the word "finish." Making a point. Well, Jesus made a point on the cross.
Amen.
When he said it's finished, it's finished.
Amen.
And we pray and believe and confess and receive. Now, there's nothing we can do to heal, but Jesus did. He finished it. It's settled, forever settled.
Amen.
And now we just expect it and believe it. So at this time, I want to open up the altar. If there's anybody in here, I know you've already heard the word and been ministered life. But if there's anything as a church, as me as a minister, representing God, representing His blood covenant, if there's anything I can agree with you this morning, the altar's up and we'd ask you to come forth. Or if you need to express anything openly before the church, we're here to agree with you.